Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is written in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 4 through 6. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. Here ends the text. Your fellow redeemed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In chapter 7 of the book of Romans, Paul tells us that one of the benefits, one of the effects of justification is freedom from the law. If we were to generalize Paul's message in our text, that of dying to or being freed from the law, so that it applies to all law, we would find that the human reaction to this message would be ambivalent. Libertarians and antinomians would herald this news as a progressive move away from distasteful, legalistic oppression. They would say that it is a positive movement toward greater lawfulness, because now man would obey the law better because he was free to do so and no longer really had to do so. On the other hand, however, others would respond that this would be an enormous step toward anarchy and lawlessness, and there would be great anxiety about personal safety and security of property. By and large, in the long run, however, most people favor a strong legal system because it is a structured system. It is a known entity. It is something that supposedly provides benefits to the individual and to the social group at large. Also, people like to adhere to it because law has always been a part of human life. To coin a statement drawing from the phraseology of an 18th century book title, one might say that law is as old as creation. It was there already in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And that being the case, it is very difficult to really get rid of the law lightly. We also would say that it works best as a permanent institution. For instance, when Solon, the great Athenian statesman and wise man of the 6th century B.C., when he was asked to draft a new constitution and legal system for the city of Athens, he agreed to do so on one condition, that they agree not to change the law or the constitution for 10 years. And to make sure that even he was not pressured into doing so by some extreme group, he himself went on a world tour for 10 years so that he was out of the city of Athens. Because only if it was permanent to that degree did it have a chance to work. Law is also something that should be binding on everybody without exception. For instance, when Oedipus, king of Thebes, learned that he had unknowingly committed patricide and incest, he gouged out his eyes and went into self-imposed exile, implying and saying that not even he as king was above the law, but rather he was under it. And so it's difficult to get rid of the law. Sharing some of these sentiments, even we as Christians can be ambivalent to Paul's statements about freedom from the law. For on the one hand, it's great news to us. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are now freed from the law to be God's through Christ. But on the other hand, there is an attraction to the law. There is a certain comfortableness about the law, because it is something that it makes very specific demands upon us. It is something we can supposedly get a hold of. And we have deluded ourselves very often into thinking that we can keep it. In a strict legal system, we supposedly are in control of our own life. And man by nature likes that. In human terms, In by human standards, it is better to rely on oneself than to rely on one from the outside. And God's message of redemption through Christ means that we rely on someone, namely God, namely the Son of God, from the outside. And our salvation is in no way conditioned upon what we have done. But sometimes that is uncomfortable to our human nature. And unfortunately, we overlook the fact that we cannot by our own reason or strength come to God, nor can we by our own reason or strength please God. And so while we talk extensively about freedom from the law that has been won by Christ, even we as Christians can feel more comfortable with the law and find a rather difficult time getting rid of it. There is also a certain ambivalence on our part toward our text, because it tells us that we are free, and yet we are not free. And that kind of tension and somewhat paradox is also discomforting to us. In his lecture on Romans, Luther says that Paul is not speaking of the law in a metaphysical or moral sense, but in a spiritual or theological sense. Paul is not saying that we are no longer subject to the will of God. We are no longer under obligation to do the will of God, but rather he is saying that the full weight of God's judicial system no longer weighs down upon us. Since Christ has removed from us the guilt of sin, we are no longer under the final penalty of the law for our sins. And it is that freedom that is the great news of God's gospel and Paul's message. For this freedom, this new freedom, opens to us the door of being with God for all eternity, because of what Christ has done for us, and it certainly opens new possibilities for us in this life. In the verses preceding our text, Paul draws the illustration of a woman who is under the laws of marriage. And he says that when the woman is freed from her first marriage vows by the death of her first husband, he does not say that she is now free to live a selfish, a profligate life, but rather he says she is free now to marry another. And so she moves from one obligation to a new obligation. And that's what Paul says is the message of the freedom of the law. While we have been freed from the law in the sense just mentioned, we are now brought into bondage or into servitude to Christ, to live the kind of life that he expects of us. So Paul says, when he says that we have died to the law through Christ, he does not conclude that we are then free to live unto ourselves alone, nor that we are free to live a licentious life of irresponsibility, but rather that we are to live a life bearing forth new fruit unto God because of what Christ has done for us. And so now we are free to be God, be Christ's joyful servants, because he has met the demands of the law for us. And so Paul emphasizes that we are now free to bear fruit unto God because of what he has done for us. To illustrate this, at this time of the summer, the month of July, there is surely a good amount of anxiety and anticipation for the coming of Friday and the end of the summer session. We look forward to the end of the long classes and the onerous assignments. And we have told ourselves when it's all over, we'll be free again, free to spend time on ourselves and for ourselves or for our families and with friends. We'll be free to do what we want to do. But according to Paul's message of the Christian life, our real freedom will be to go and use the knowledge and the skills we have acquired in the service of God and his church. So it is not a freedom to simply wait upon ourselves, while some relaxation will certainly be in order. It will be the freedom to live a new and more dedicated life unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so freedom from the burden of minute details of the law such as was applied in the Pharisaic and Sadducean sense, we are now freed to love Christ and our fellow men. We have time for caring for others. We have enormous possibilities for a new relationship with our families, with all men. We have new mission opportunities because we are free from the former burden of the law to live and to do the will of Christ. St. Augustine wrote in his Confession, he said, "Give what thou commandest, and command what thou wilt," saying that God still has the law binding upon us. We are still under obligation to God, but God has given us the ability to keep and to do that law. And so this should remove from us the final ambivalence toward this great message of Paul, God through Paul, that we are freed from the law. We are now dead to the law through the work of Christ. Because the burden of that final penalty has been removed, we are now free by God's strength, His power, the gift of the Spirit, to live a new life unto God while He gives us life on this earth. May God grant that that will be the new possibility. That will be another dimension to the great message of justification by grace through faith. May God grant it for Christ's sake. Amen.